Let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and get the view from the middle. He's the columnist for USA Today, covering all things college football. Online, usatoday.com. In the actual publication, it's the red section on Twitter, at George Schroeder. George, a happy 2019 to you and yours. How are things in your world?
Happy New Year's to you and all the listeners, too. Things are good. Good. Enjoyed Christmas. Good New Year's. Covered the Cotton Bowl in Dallas and heading out to California, Santa Clara, tomorrow morning. So looking forward to that the national championship game between Alabama and Clemson. Part three in the national title game, part four in the playoffs, and our newest big sports rivalry.
Yeah, it's amazing how the repeat button, whether it was in the NBA for several years and now. But, you know, I want to start with a couple of hypotheticals because I put a poll up on our Twitter account. And so for you, I'd like you to fast forward. It's the eve of the 2022 college football season. So 3 full years have passed between now and then. You are handed $10,000 to bet today. Even money. The Friday before the start of that 2022 season, would you bet Urban Meyer is still retired or Urban Meyer's is back coaching Team X?
So it has to, you've already made the stipulation, so it has to be the Friday before the season starts. And look, well, I don't bet, but I think
it's not your money, it's mine.
Yeah, am I betting it now for 2022, or am I betting it then?
No, you have to bet it now. We're looking into the crystal ball. And here's the deal. Okay. I put up the money. If you lose, I lose. If you win, you get to keep the profit.
All right. Now, this is a bit more to my liking. I'm enjoying this more. And what people don't understand is you have this kind of money to throw around. So we should just do this. I'd bet that he's coaching. I just can't believe that he's actually going to retire and stay retired. And part of the reason is, now Bob Stoops, I think, has made the transition, but even in December, in fact, the day that Urban Meyer announced he was retiring, I caught up with Bob Stoops in a hotel lobby in New York, and we may have talked about this on the air, I don't know, but even then, so it's been, you know, 17 months or something like that since Bob Stoops announced his retirement. I think he's come to grips with not coaching. I'm not sure that every coach can do that, but even Bob Stoops still has a hard time waking up almost every morning going, yeah, what am I going to do today? Because they're used to, for 30 years, when you get to these guys' age, grinding away and having something that gets done on this day at this time, basically throughout the year. You know, they kind of know what you do on January 2nd. They kind of know what you do on January 15th. They know what you do 7:30 in the morning and 4:30 in the afternoon, points in between. And I think it's pretty jarring when suddenly that changes. And so that, plus the track record with Urban Meyer, is we've seen him retire once before, and he came back. So he's only 54 years old.
Right. No, I think
he'll be back. So I'm betting your money, not mine, your money, that he'll be back in coaching by 2022.
All right, same scenario, same $10,000. The 2022 regular season as college football is about to begin. Any chance you think, if you had to bet, Notre Dame is in a conference, or are they an eternal independent?
Well, I don't know that they're an eternal independent, but in 2022, they are independent. There's no question in my mind. They're not any. They won't be in a conference or talking about being in a conference in 2022. We might be in that situation where we're heading towards an 18 playoff at that point. I don't think we are now. And if that happens and you're Notre Dame, you're a little concerned for this reason. Right now, Notre Dame can get into one of four wide open spots, that nebulous four best teams thing, right?
Right.
But if you go to an 18 playoff, the way we all have seen the structure go, there are going to be 5 automatic qualifiers from the Power 5 conferences. I don't know how that's all going to be configured, and maybe there'll be some qualifiers inside there, like you have to be ranked a certain, at a certain point. But to be an automatic qualifier as a champion. I don't think that'll happen, but more than likely it'll be the five Power Five champs. Each of those is in, and then there's three at-larges, or maybe two, because maybe the group of five gets in. And so it's very possible if you're Notre Dame and it goes to eight, it's bad for you because you go from four possible spots to two possible spots. One of those two at-large bids, if in fact that third bid goes to a group of five most years or all years. So at that point, maybe they start thinking about it. But it is the absolute last thing they want to do is go into a conference, whether they should or not, whether anybody else cares about it. And I know most people are, like, mad because they're not in conferences. But they don't have to be, and as long as they don't have to be, they don't want to be.
All right. And you kind of hit on it, but my last of the three questions where you get to bet my money and keep the winnings. If
unfortunately, it's the same $10,000 every time.
No.
You keep like pulling it back as though I didn't make the other bet.
No, I'm putting up 30 grand here. You could make
right,
30
I'm
grand.
Better
here.
Now.
All right. So,
okay.
If again, it's the eve of the 2022 season, but back in January of 2019, you bet. Would you say we go into 2022 knowing the college playoff would be four teams? Or by then, do you think some will get their way and we will have expanded?
So for the 2022 season, you're asking me if at the end of that season, 4 years from now, we would be playing a championship game after having had eight teams in it.
And actually, it could be six, just more than four.
Okay. The answer is no. We might be at the point where we know it's coming by then. But I don't think in 2022, and listen, I'm an eight-team guy. I've kind of gradually gotten there. I'm disappointed to have to say this. But I don't think we are headed to it fast. And here's the deal. They're going to agree to ponder the idea of pondering the idea. And people go, why can't you just do this? Well, first of all, you got to get a bunch of people on board who are not on board right now. That's the first thing. A bunch of important people are not on board. And by that, I mean university presidents, I mean conference commissioners, they're not on board. But then, if you ever get all these people on board, then the logistical issues are way, way more than we like to pretend they are. We like to sort of wave a magic wand and say, yeah, that doesn't matter. University presidents do not want you playing quarterfinal games during the time when they're traditionally having exams. And they don't want them, and by the way, it's not just about the football team having to, you know, not worry about exams or worry about football games. It's also about your campus, in the case of these being quarterfinals at home site, your campus, which traditionally is shut down except for exams, being geared up for some big football game. So, I mean, that's just one example of something, and people go, well, that shouldn't be the thing. But I promise you, university presidents, they think about academics. And I don't just mean they think about the football players' academics. They think about sort of all of it. And I think that's a big piece of this that we don't usually think about. And there's one little nugget of a bunch of logistical problems. There's one that would have to be overcome. Now, do I think it eventually gets overcome? Yes. I don't know what that means. But that's one example of why it would take forever to get this thing done if tomorrow they decided to do it. And they're not going to decide tomorrow that they want to go to eight.
Talking with George Schroeder of USA Today, you mentioned you were in Dallas. Clemson just owned Notre Dame. It was 3-3 with 4.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. And from that point, the Irish offense failed on a fourth down, punted four times, got intercepted, and punted three more times. I know they say, what if it were on a different day? But did you see anything that would lead you to believe that if these two teams played again and again and again, it would ever end in a different result?
No. And I think you could have looked at the Oklahoma-Alabama score and you could have seen, okay, I could see how if everything went well, Oklahoma can play with and beat Alabama. I think Alabama wins 3 out of 5, maybe 4 out of 5. But with Notre Dame and Clemson, it looked like a 5 out of 5 proposition for Clemson on that day, at least. So, yeah. No, I'm going to say this too. That doesn't mean Notre Dame should not have been in the playoff. When you go 12-0 against a Power 5 conference schedule, which is what they did, you're getting in the playoff and you should. And that is, it doesn't matter. It's always so easy after the fact, after these semifinal games, if they turn out to be not as competitive as you would hope they would be for us to go see. That other team should have been in there. Well, that other team's resume was non-existent compared to, in this case, Georgia's, compared to Notre Dame's. And that's, by the way, before we saw the Sugar Bowl last night, which should have hopefully put some of that to bed.
Yep. No.
But Ohio State, obviously, you know, looked really, really good in the Rose Bowl against Washington, which I'm sure made Oregon fans very happy. But there's no reason Ohio State had no business getting in the playoff ahead of Notre Dame either.
No, I agree. And Notre Dame, I think, was really the only team that didn't play an FCS team. So if you want to go for strength of skin.
Can I tell you where this is going to hurt Notre Dame down the road? It's not going to hurt Notre Dame if they go unbeaten. It's going to hurt Notre Dame in that situation, which is going to be most years when they're in the playoff conversation, when they're 11-1 and they're up against 12-1 conference champions, which is what they would have been up against this year with, say, an Oklahoma or, say, an Ohio State. And you've got that extra data point for those teams. And even though it shouldn't matter what happened in 2018 and certainly not in 2012, that's going to be fresh in the committee's mind, or at least going to be a part of things. Every time they get on this stage, we've seen them falter. That's when it's going to hurt them. If they're unbeaten, they're in. Except for the day when there are four Power 5 conference champions that are unbeaten, which we have never seen. We actually saw two of them this year.
Right. Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson quarterback, we've kind of tracked him since the change was made. And while he had some big performance, George, when you consider what was on the line, how impressive was his performance against that's a pretty darn good Irish defense on this stage.
Yeah, and that's the thing people forget, too, is Notre Dame's defense is really good. By the way, Clemson's defense is really good.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's defense is really good, and Trevor Lawrence just cut them apart. He is really good. He's 6'6", 215, 220 pounds of future NFL star as a true freshman. And you can easily see why Dabo Swinney made the switch after four games from Kelly Bryant, who was 16-2 as a starter, extremely serviceable as a starter, not a bad guy at all to have as your quarterback, but not terrific. Not Deshaun Watson. That was his biggest thing. This guy's not Deshaun Watson either. He's much more of a pro-style passer than anything they've had at Clemson. But he's got every chance to be the guy. Let me put it this way. Tua Tagovailoa is the better quarterback in the game. I'm not sure that he's the better quarterback by much, and maybe he'll prove me by wrong. And by this time a year from now, when Trevor Lawrence is a savvy veteran sophomore, he might be the best quarterback in the game. And I don't mean in the game. I mean in the game of college football.
I get you.
He's got the total package, including the intangibles like poise and stuff that you don't expect from an 18 or 19 year old who's out there on the biggest stage as a true freshman.
Nah, he seems like he's born to do this. A couple final thoughts for George Schroeder of USA Today. So Central Florida's win streak is over. They had last lost to a Willie Taggart-coached South Florida team in 2016. Then with a backup, they almost knocked off LSU. And as you write, their run was a little bit polarizing, but I want to get to something you hit on that I thought was really good. Why is it fans love a 15 or 16 seed in March Madness or George Mason making the Final Four, but in football we're like, yeah, little guy, move over. We don't embrace it the same.
I don't know. We just don't. For some reason, it's a different ethos the college football fan has by and large, or fandom. Look, obviously, this is not true of every fan, but
right.
Sort of by and large, that's just sort of, it's just different. You never see people, now look, I know this is a special case in Eugene, okay, I get this, but take yourself out of the Oregon situation with Boise State, right? You never really saw around the country people get all the way behind a Boise State as kind of a fun Cinderella. They enjoyed the Fiesta Bowl when they upset Oklahoma with all those cool trick plays. That was cool, but after that, it was like, all right, upstarts, go back to where you came from. And that's not just a Eugene thing. And I understand why that is, because Boise State kept regularly beating the Ducks. But it's not just a Eugene thing. People didn't embrace them. Now with UCF, where they ought to be a warm and fuzzy, they're not. Now, I will say this. I think they brought a lot of this on themselves with how they've handled themselves and postured and beaten their chest. And, you know, it's one thing to claim a nice national title when you're coming off the field after beating Auburn in the Peach Bowl. It's another thing to, you know, have a parade and put 2017 national champions on the facade of your stadium. That's a different type of deal. And then to continue on and on and on, and every time you talk to them, they were being discriminated against, basically, by the big boys and by the system and by this, that, and the other. And frankly, they approach things differently than Boise State did. To Boise's credit, they basically adapted sort of a we'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime type of thing. If they could get a one-for-one home-and-home series, they took it. But if it was two-for-one, they took it. They played all these neutral site games that were much closer to the other team's campus, the other school's campus. These guys are saying, when the Florida athletic director, who doesn't need UCF at all and represents 100 years of tradition as the flagship school in the state, and the Florida AD says, yeah, we'll play and we'll give them a two-for-one, he's publicly on the hook. And you basically say, that's not good enough. No, we can't do that. We're too good for that. To me, they have really turned off a lot of college football fans who might have been disposed towards thinking that's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, I thought that was a bad no at that time. So, lastly, George, 154 days ago the season started. Clemson and Alabama were 1-2 in both polls. They were 1-2 in all six playoff committee polls. So this is a stunner. The Tide are a 5.5-point favorite. What are you looking ahead to for Monday? Because I really think Clemson's going to win this game. How do you think this one goes?
Well, I picked Clemson. That was back in early December. We have to have our picks in for bowls and the playoffs so early for this USA Today preview that hits the newsstands, you know, like a week after, maybe not even quite that long after Selection Sunday. So I picked Clemson. I'll stick with it. I'm not terribly confident about that, but I think they're terrifically good. I think their defense is easily the better of the two in the game. Their offense is probably not as prolific as Alabama's, but it's pretty good. And, you know, and I just, we have seen, if we discount last year, which is a 24-6 win by Alabama that was 10-6 until there was a bad pick thrown by Kelly Bryant, if we discount that one, we have seen two classics in championship games, and I think we could be in for another one in this third time they meet in a championship game in 4 years.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think that it'll come down, and they're actually capable of getting an occasional stop. Well, you travel safe all the way out to Santa Clara, and enjoy that game. And obviously, we look forward to talking to you about it on Wednesday. Folks, he's George Schroeder, USA Today on Twitter, at George Schroeder. George, great stuff as always. Much appreciate the time.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Take it easy.